This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink, a drink to Lily the Pink.
Hello everybody, this is Mike McCammon, we're on Plains FM, this is Medicine Man, and we're going to be talking about the path with a heart, and it may in fact involve some herbal medicine, who knows. It's getting bigger than 80% of the world's population now are very, very open to using herbal medicine, maybe not as their primary means of healthcare, but certainly becoming more important in their lives. So we'll talk a little bit about that phenomena and how it may affect you or not affect you. So, natural medicine. So, what is actually natural medicine? Well, you could say that human beings have lived with natural medicine since the beginning of time. And we've survived pretty good, haven't we, without doctors and psychiatrists and surgeons and, dentists, we've actually done quite well. I remember when I was studying anthropology, the health of the bones that I used to examine from some of our early ancestors, it's quite amazing that found no dental decay. And these people didn't have dentists, but of course they didn't have white sugar and they didn't have white flour and white salt, you know, all the deadly white things, So natural medicine is basically using the things in a whole form from nature. And I'd like to talk about how, in fact, this actually happened to me, because while studying anthropology, didn't eat well, whatever the rest of it was going on. I actually got quite sick, and I discovered herbal medicine in the anthropology library with reading books about, herbal medicine by the American Indians and so forth. And when I started to take some of the remedies there, because we had, we had the gardens, the botanical garden, they had all sorts of plants that I used to experiment with, and it certainly woke something up in me. Because I'd been to all sorts of experts for my so-called chronic fatigue, or Tapanui flu, what they called it. Nobody really understood it. It was supposed to be a virus, which is half true. But, all the experts that I saw didn't seem to know what the heck was going on. And yet me going down and digging up something as simple as dandelion root and scrubbing it and making a tea out of it with strong, strong coffee. And I felt so much better. Of course, later on, I learned about the iron content and the potassium and why, in fact, dandelion root works so well, because it's a wonderful liver cleanser and a kidney cleanser and so forth. So I got very, very interested in herbal medicine. So my studies began in the 1970s, and I started to read Carlos Castaneda. For those people in my generation, and perhaps some people in later generations, if you've heard of Carlos Castaneda, Don Juan, A Way of Knowledge. It was basically an anthropology student who was interested in herbal medicines of the Yaqui Indians, the American Indians of the Northwest, I think, and their herbal knowledge. And he went to find out as much as he could about herbal medicine from the American Indians, a particular tribe in the American Indians. So this was a fascinating thing. So I followed it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. But it turned out to be much, much more than just herbal medicine. And, of course, reading Carlos Castaneda, I also read Timothy Leary and Richard Albert, and it was all about the power of LSD to awaken consciousness, and that was very interesting for a young student. So I experimented with LSD and peyote and all those sorts of things that we did, and I'm glad I did. So did the Beatles, so did Steve Jobs, and a number of people that did things with their lives. They had to get out of the old way of thinking, and what really stunned me is I realized that much of the way that people thought was pretty much told by somebody else. This is how you think, and this is how you think. This has been going on for generations and generations, and many people sort of even end up doing work that they've been told to do, and whatever reason, and there's something missing in their lives. So something I read in Carlos Castaneda's first book is this. I'm going to quote it. I hope you don't mind, but it's because I can't do better than Carlos in describing this process. And so what Carlos says is, or actually Don Juan, his teacher, the Yaqui Indian, the sorcerer and the herbalist, said this: a path is only a path, and there's no affront to oneself or others in dropping it, if that is what your heart tells you. Look at every path closely and deliberately. Try it as many times as you think necessary. I'm not talking about a path you walk up to your street. I'm talking about the path you choose in life. What are you going to do with your life? Anyway, then ask yourself alone one question: does this path have a heart? If it does, the path is good, and if it doesn't, it's of no use. And so that kind of stunned me, because I thought that I was going to be an archaeologist and I was going to be working somewhere in Egypt in dusty old bones and that was my path of the heart. But what I noticed was I was being led in a different direction, and it was a deeper direction. It wasn't with old bones, which was fascinating in history of things of the past. It was actually what was happening right now, and it was about living people. It was about living bones and living tissue and what we're doing with our lives. So that really got me going. And so the other thing that that Carlos told me was that the basic difference between an ordinary person or an ordinary man and a warrior is a warrior takes everything as a challenge, while an ordinary man takes everything as a blessing or a curse. And I thought of that, and of course, as I wasn't well, I thought, what is my passion? And it turned out to be herbal medicine. It turned out to be the path of healing, which as I grew with this, became even more than that. So I don't know if I've told you before, but I found out that there was a college here. I rang the college up that taught herbal medicine. Impossible to get in, absolutely impossible. You will not get in, because we've got so many people that are crowding to get in, and we only take 15 students every 4 years or something ridiculous like that. And of course, me being having read Carlos Castaneda, I wasn't going to take no for an answer. So I put the pack on my back and I hitchhiked from Dunedin to Auckland. I arrived there on a Friday night, I think it was. And I found where the college secretary lived. I knocked on his door. It was a great big double-story house. And I don't know, 9 o'clock at night, and he opened the door and I says, "Hello, I'm Mike McKimmon, and aren't you lucky you've got another student?" And his jaw dropped, and he said, "I have just put the phone down because one of our students dropped out." Anyway, there's more to the story, but basically the long and the short of it is, I can tell you now, audience, you people out there, if you're listening to me, there's always room for one more. There's always room for one more. It might be the best concert you've ever been at, booked out, but I can tell you now, there's always room for one more, especially if it's the path with a heart. So when you have a path with a heart, you've definitely got challenges. But I can tell you that when you find your passion, nothing can stop you no matter what happens in your way. So in this journey, from time to time, reading Carlos Castaneda, remembering what he said, was there's another thing here for me. This is what Don Juan, his teacher, said: for me, there is only the traveling on paths that have heart. And on any path that may have heart, the only worthwhile challenge is to traverse its full length, right? To take it to the whole hog is what I interpret that as. And there I travel looking breathlessly, and this is what I do. Herbal medicine for me has deepened my life, and it's brought so many wonderful, interesting people into my life. And it's also given me something that I love so deeply, it can't actually separate it from me anymore. But the wonderful thing that I discovered with herbal medicine, as you're using herbal medicine, it does actually change consciousness without having to use hallucinogenic plants. Because as you're taking in living food and you're taking in concentrated herbal medicines, if you're taking some things that are grown under the ground, you tend to have a sense of stability when you use them. There's a sense of stability because they are, in fact, grounding herbs. And they're loaded with concentrated minerals that actually help you psychologically, believe it or not, by a sense of grounding. And then when you're using plants and flowers from above the earth, there's a kind of an uplifting sensation where it helps bring clarity of mind and so forth. So as you're using things that are full of life and energy and created over millions and millions of years, they have a type of consciousness, because every living thing has these three qualities. And these three qualities is wisdom, will, and emotion. So whenever anything's alive, there's a certain consciousness about it and a certain purpose. And herbal medicine is just marvelous, because the color of the plants will tell us something. The smell of the plant will tell us something. The shape of the leaf. And let's look at, say, ginseng. Some cultures call it man root, because when you dig up the root of the ginseng, it actually looks like a person. It's got a head and it's got a body and it's got legs and it's got arms. It's quite extraordinary. And so ginseng is a herb that embraces the whole person. It's rather extraordinary that ginseng is good for just about anybody. And of course, there's different types of ginseng. And ginseng, in classification in the herbal medicine terms, it is termed one of the adaptogens. It adapts the body to periods of stress. It helps you cope. So, for example, if the blood pressure is too high, ginseng will gently bring it down. If the blood pressure is too low, ginseng will bring it up. So adaptogens are things that we need for modern life now. And the shape of ginseng gives us a clue. It's good for, and it looks like it's called man root, and it isn't called woman root because you don't see breasts on it. Or maybe you do, but the ones I've seen, they don't. So the interesting thing about ginseng is particularly good for men. I'm not saying it isn't good for women, but because of its male hormone content, women shouldn't use, say, Korean ginseng, Panax ginseng for too long. But for short periods of time, it's absolutely wonderful. But for men, it's particularly good for libido and strength. And it's got this wonderful flavour that when you drink ginseng tea, I mean, you can just go to, say, a Chinese shop or something and get some ginseng packets of instant ginseng. It's not sort of like the medicinal one, really, which is like 100 times stronger. But even if you get the instant ginseng and just make yourself a cup of that tea and just, you know, put some hot water with it and just slowly sip it and tune in. And it's really a remarkable sensation that occurs. It's just got the strength and the flavour is indescribable. But if you just tune into the herb, just close your eyes and feel what it's doing, you will feel this heat going straight inside, and then you'll find the heat dissipating to every last little toe and finger and your ears and everything as the effect of this herb takes over. Now, again, there'll be some people that won't like that, and that's okay too. But tasting the herb, smelling the herb, looking at the herb gives an idea of what the herb is for. But there's nothing better than experience and hands-on. And that, again, is what I love about herb medicine, because to actually do that, you've got to go out in the field, you've got to, you know, dig it up, recognize it, have some kind of appreciation for the herb. You can't just go there and rip into it. You really need to ask permission. There's all sorts of wonderful things that you bring in with herbal medicine. And, of course, the people you meet are wonderful. And then, of course, there's the preparation, which is its own particular way for each plant. And so it's this incredible knowledge that just gets deeper and deeper as you go. So this is Medicine Man. We'll have a little bit of a music break, and this is a song by Sally Oldfield called Mandala. This is Mike McCammon. We're on Plains FM. This is Medicine Man. Another plant I have talked about before is comfrey. And the interesting thing about comfrey is if you look at the leaf of the comfrey plant, Symphytum officinalis, if you look at the leaf, it looks very much like lung tissue. It's really interesting. It's kind of a bit scratchy too. But as a tea, and drinking small amounts of it, not large amounts, but small amounts, is very soothing to your lungs. It's got an emollient quality, very much like slippery elm. The American Indians use slippery elm for lung problems too, but comfrey is really good for soothing irritated lungs and bronchioles. And yet the root is really good for your bones. I do remember a case where a person had a severe burn, and I blended comfrey leaves in with honey, and it just took all the pain of the burn away, and a third degree burn healed up beautifully with brand new skin in 7 days. In 7 days. And yes, you don't believe me, I've got photographs and all that. I try to keep records of these things. So I have seen these remarkable things with herbal medicine. But the thing is that what I did learn is, because I dropped out of university, is that it's nice to have some expertise in somewhere, but there's nothing that beats experience and hands-on stuff. So it brings me to another topic, is that, again, from learning from Don Juan and Carlos Castaneda, that one can actually get to a certain point where you think you know everything. And that's one of the traps if you really want to get this path with a heart and embrace your passion, because this is what this talk is really about, is embracing your passion, that you get to a certain point, particularly, and unfortunately it is kind of cultivated in the medical system, dare I say it, and particularly in the university system. Anyone's gone through university, come out of university thinking that, you know, they've got their PhD and whatever else they've got, you know, the badge of honour, and there's this kind of an attitude that goes, well, now I know stuff. And in fact, people that don't know stuff, you know, everybody's equal, but some people are more equal than others, you see what I mean? So there's this inherent unconscious or conscious, overt or covert, a sense of superiority. And it is a big mistake, because knowledge in your head is actually a very inferior type of knowledge than your own instincts and hands-on stuff. And so there is this difference between cleverness and intelligence. So say someone like Einstein, who you mean, if, imagine if you met Einstein on the beach in shorts, you'd think he was a really funny little twitty old man, wouldn't you? But of course he's a genius. But there was a man who had an incredible mind, but he also had an incredible sense of, intuition as well. And so the people that do some wonderful things don't necessarily think they're experts, but they think... they think outside the box. And here's the thing, cleverness, being clever, you can build a rocket ship, you can build an atomic bomb, and that's clever, but it is not necessarily intelligent. So the reason I bring this up, because it was only yesterday that one of my patients again told me this familiar old story that I hear so often and get marginally tired to hear it, is they actually told their doctor that they're seeing me, a naturopath and a herbalist, and they get one of three responses. First of all, it's the silent treatment. Nothing is said, but you can feel it. There's disapproved. The other one is outright hostility. And the other one is, which still floors me to this day, which is what the patient told me, oh, we're professionals. All right, well, let's not pick on any particular group, because this is the danger of clarity. It's not just the medical system, it's every system in the planet. We all get to a point where we actually think we know stuff, and we think we know better than, you know, the guy in shorts that we meet on the beach with a funny haircut. So the most important thing is not to judge people so much, because it's what they've actually done. Now, some of the most intelligent people I have met, some of them haven't even had an education. I've met some pretty so-called, you know, not clever people that have this incredible intelligence. And sometimes you just look at someone on the rugby field, you look at some of the good rugby players, and you see, and then you look at the soccer players and see, what, isn't that intelligent? Isn't that incredibly intelligent, the way they can get that ball, the way they do things that I couldn't possibly do? Our basketball players, our team, our silver ferns, the things that they can do, that's what we call intelligence, and it's not clever. Okay, so now, of course, ideally, we need to think from our brain, feel from our heart, and also get a gut feeling about things. So if you want to look at anything, if you're thinking about taking up herbal medicine or look examining what herbs can do in your life, ask yourself these three things. This might be useful and it might not be. Ask yourself, okay, does history sort of prove that this has been going on for some time? In other words, this is not just a new kid on the block. Let's look at history. How long has herbal medicine, or whatever topic or thing you want to look at, how long has it been in existence? Well, I'm going to say that herbal medicine's been in existence since the beginning of human beings, right? Maybe even before that, you know? So they have even found herbal medicine in Neanderthal graves, right? Forensic science have found bunches of herbal medicine in Neanderthal graves. Herbal medicine has been here for at least 40,000 years. And every religious book, dare I say, every religious book, the Quran, the Bible, whatever, you go into any religious book, it's absolutely chocker with herbal medicine. Even the three gifts that Jesus got by the three wise men was two of them were herbs. In fact, they're saying that one of them, gold, was actually not gold, it was saffron. There's a theory about that. But it is interesting that two out of three of them were definitely herbal medicine. There's myrrh, which is a powerful antibiotic, and there was frankincense, which happens to be, a lot of evidence has been showing that it's actually good in the treatment of cancer patients. And again, so we have herbal medicine, and then we have the quote, the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. So anyway, we could go on and on about the history of herbal medicine, but it goes on a long time. Now, what else do we need to look at? We need to look at some logic, don't we? Well, why should dandelion work? What the heck is it about dandelion? Well, it's full of potassium. It's got iron, and it's got trace minerals. And we know that trace minerals actually do. We do need these trace minerals because we know what happens when we're low in, say, iodine. We know what happens when we're low in boron and selenium, even trace minerals. And, of course, we know what happens if we don't get enough iron. We become anemic and tired. So it does make perfect sense that if you drink something that's rich in iron and potassium, you're going to feel good. And isn't feeling good part of getting well? Isn't feeling good, you know, when you start feeling good, your body starts to create all these wonderful ecstasy-producing chemicals, even oxytocin and natural things, serotonin, that actually drip through. And when that happens, your immune cells actually love it. And those T lymphocytes and phagocytes, they start eating more bacteria because you're happy. Yes, happiness can actually improve your immunity. But when we look at what actually are in herbs, for example, the comfrey, we have this chemical called allantoin, which happens to be a cell proliferant. So that makes sense as to why that tissue actually regenerated in 7 days from a third degree burn with deep burns, that it healed with no scar, no scarring at all, no scabs, nothing, brand new skin in 7 days. And that was the action of allantoin, a chemical, an organic chemical found in the comfrey. And this is the tip of an iceberg, which is the tip of another iceberg, which is the tip of another iceberg. There's so much information and there's so much science behind herbal medicine. Okay, so it is not sort of not professional. In fact, it is pure science and it works with the scientific principles of observation, experimentation, observation, hypothesis, experimentation, proving time and time again over generations, over generations, over generations. Herbal medicine is pure science, but it's also got that extra thing. It also has the gut feeling. Does it feel right? So you ask yourself, well, okay, does this feel right? Okay, it's been used for thousands of years, but maybe it is old-fashioned. You know, maybe it's a dinosaur and it's not really important these days, so we'll forget it. Okay, you can come to that conclusion. And then you ask yourself, well, is it logical they eat something from the ground, you know, it's covered in dirt and stuff like that? Can that help me? You know, what's a bit of herb going to do, you know? Okay, you can come to that conclusion too. And you can also ask yourself, well, does it feel right? Just has it got a gut-level feeling that this is the thing for me? Now, you may get a no on each of these, but you may not, and I'm going to leave it to you to have that. I know for me, when I discovered herbal medicine, it changed my life for the better, and it is the path of a heart for me, and that's the path that I'm going to follow, and I love it, and I hope that at least some of you will embrace that kind of a way of life too, because it brings rich rewards. So what I'd like to do is to finish today with a quote from Don Juan, from Carlos Castaneda, and here it is. For me, the world is weird because it's stupendous, awesome, mysterious, unfathomable. My interest has been to convince you that you must assume responsibility for being here in this marvelous world, in this marvelous desert, in this marvelous time. I want to convince you that you must learn to make every act count, since you're going to be here for only a short while, in fact, too short for witnessing all the marvels of it. Thanks very much. I hope some of you get to love herbal medicine and all the miracles this world has to offer. You need nothing else. Thanks very much. Catch up.
We'll drink a drink, a drink to Lily, the pink, the pink, the pink, the savior of the human race. For she invented medicinal compounds.